two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy 2024! New year, new you, right? Let me guess. You're thinking about joining a new gym, starting a fad diet, buying that Theragun everyone's always yammering on about. I've got a better idea. Listen to my podcast. I'm Samantha Bee, writer, comedian, and host of Choice Words from Lemonada Media. This whole month of January, we're going to help you make better choices in 2024. We'll go beyond superficial hacks and get at the truth of how to lead a more meaningful life. Just search for Choice Words on your podcast player of choice and hit follow so you don't miss an episode. Now that is a good choice. Lemonada.
I realized I was queer when I was much younger than when I came out. I realized when I was like 6, but I didn't come out till I was about 2 weeks shy of my 16th birthday, because I thought, well, I want a boyfriend by the time I turn 16. I really, really want that. I had been watching a lot of queer media. I'm watching a lot of, like, Queer as Folk was big back then, so I was watching that a lot.
Christ, Daphne, everybody talks about having sex, but I really did it.
Wow, this guy came out and then he got to go to a club and, like, have great sex, and I want that, so maybe if I come out, I'll get that too. I didn't say anything for a long time. I played a lot of Alanis Morissette, a lot of Jagged Little Pill, because I was really morose and there was nothing, there was no pamphlets to be like, here's how you come out when you're disabled. There was nothing like that at that time. One day, I'm in the kitchen with my mom, and she's, I don't know, forget, she's standing at our bright red sink, and she goes, what's wrong? You haven't talked to me in like 2 weeks. What's wrong? Are you gay or something? And I paused and went, well, yeah, actually, I am. And she got my comfort food, which at that time was yogurt and like honey together to make me feel better. And so I had a big cry and she had a cry. And then she says, well, when you watch a sex scene, do you watch the boy or the girl? And I was like, the boy, obviously the boy. She then rented Priscilla Queen of the Desert for me.
You actually make money by dressing up like a woman.
Oh, sure. You can make a fine living in a pair of heels.
And said, if you want to be this kind of gay person, it's okay. And at that point, I was like, no, Mom, it's not going to be me. No, no. And then, weirdly enough, 4 years later, I was performing at the college drag show. Hi, this is Drew Gerza, and you're listening to Good Sex. I'm a crippled content creator and disability awareness consultant. My pronouns are he and they, and my disability identifiers are disabled. Good Sex is accessible. Cerebral palsy is a, sometimes it can be like you have to use a wheelchair, sometimes it can be spasms. It's a really an umbrella term for a lot of neurodiversity that's happening in the brain. I had brain damage at birth and I was born 3 months early because I was like, I want to come out now. And for me, for the way it impacts my body, I have to use an electric wheelchair to get around. I'm a power wheelchair user and I can't walk at all. I was like, okay, well, now that I've come out, I'm going to have all these boyfriends. I'm going to have all the experiences that everyone else is having because I've come out now. I want to come out now. And then I very quickly realized that because I was disabled, it wasn't working out that way. I wasn't getting the teen boyfriends. I wasn't going to queer events. I wasn't being treated the same way because of my disability. As I started having sex, I learned how to have sex, and I learned kind of how ableist queer men were in my experience, and I learned how, very quickly, how my body didn't have a place here. I felt so excluded. I did whatever I could to downplay the disability. I would say things like, oh, I'm disabled, but my dick still works. My wheelchair's not a big deal, and I can still do this, and I'm still sexy. It's been a process because I've always felt like I know exactly what I want, and I want to go after it, but every time I go into queer spaces or even disability spaces, I feel like I have to hide pieces of myself, and I just don't want to do that anymore. The first time I hired a sex worker was back in 2015, I'm pretty sure, or early 2016. I hadn't had sex for like 12 months almost. I was really depressed, really upset. And I had been thinking about hiring a sex worker, but I was had the shame of like, oh, if I hire a sex worker, then why can't I get it the quote unquote real way? And why can't I have real, like, why can't I have a real, which is so silly and just a really bad way of thinking about it. Cause the sex you have with a sex worker is still real sex. I don't know why. Like, so, but I believe that I had to have it organically or whatever it was. I got on the computer, I looked around, and I was so scared.
Welcome.
And I started looking at the prices of what these guys charge an hour and go, I don't know, that's like my groceries for 2 weeks. So I would often look, click off,
goodbye,
go away for a day or two, and then slowly find my way back to it. And one day I was just like, fuck it, I'll figure out the money, I need this for me. He called me a day before our meeting and said, hey, how you doing? I'm okay. I need you to tell me what you want. What? Tell me what you want in our session tomorrow. I don't know. I want to get off and have a good time. No. Outline for me what you want. And I had to pause because no one had ever asked me what I wanted before. I just did what I thought was expected of me. And I did all the things that I thought I was supposed to do to please a partner. And I thought that that's what it was.
No, my job is to please you. That's what I'm there for. What do you want?
And I remember being like stunned by this question. It was really awkward because I had to give him what I wanted as a grocery list.
And I want oral, I want this, I want this.
And it was really kind of strange, but it was also really cool to be asked what I liked and what I wanted.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few, and of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
When I moved to Toronto and I, again, was looking for just somebody to work with, I was very nervous, but I met John Shield.
Hey, bro.
I kept coming back to his profile because I was like, he's really cute, looking really hot with a shirt on, doing, you know, very typical gay male porn poses, which I don't know if you know what those are, but they're basically like when the guy with the shirt off takes the shirt off and puts his arm above his head. But then there was also pictures of him just smiling and being kind of a goof, and I was like, oh, I like that. I think I could connect with this guy. I said, have you ever been with a disabled guy before? And he said, no. And I remember kind of smiling, being like, ooh, that's cool, because that means that I can be his first. I get to, like, show him the ropes of disability and have great sex. Like, cool. I was so nervous because, you know, he looks like he, and I was a wheelchair user. So I was very, very nervous that, like, that it was too much for him to handle and he was going to walk out. He was very willing to learn about my disability and very willing to learn about what my needs were. And we spent time talking about what it was that I would do with him and what I would need his help for. And he was very, very accommodating. And so we just became, I would say we've become friends, and we've worked together now the last 4 years. And it is, without question, the best sex I've ever had in my life. We giggle and laugh and play before any sex happens, just as friends, and it makes me feel comfortable to be as vulnerable as I need to be with him. And he, you know, my disability is a part of our sex and it doesn't bother him. Like, he makes a joke because I have a lift that I use to get in and out of bed that we sometimes use as part of our play. And he'll say things like, oh, he'll say like, oh, I'm only in it for your hoist. We'll joke and play like that. So he's very playful and very real about who he is. And that's important for me because with my disability, I have to be real. So to have somebody who's on the same level, but also like, don't worry, we can play with this. You can play with me. That feels really, really inviting because he's willing to understand me and work with me.
Fuck.
John and I filmed a porn for Himeros.tv. They had asked me to find a scene partner, and without even blinking, I was like,
hey, John, what are you doing? Do you want to come over?
What was going through my mind was, oh, my God, I'm shooting a porn. Oh, my God, like, this is so weird. Oh, my God, like, what am I doing?
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
He just put his hand on my chest and looked at me and said, you ready to do this?
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
It was one of my favorite things I ever did because it showed a disabled person getting pleasure from someone and also giving pleasure to another person. And it's to his credit that I felt so safe in doing that. And it's a very different kind of relationship than I think people expect between a sex worker and a client. With him and our sex, what makes it so great is that I trust him. There have been moments where we've played with sex toys and we've tried different kinds of sex that I'd never done before. And just before we do it, he'll say, do you trust me? There's something about that that makes me just, you got me. You're not going to let anything happen to me here. So I feel okay. And I am such a proponent of sex work in part because of working with him.
Same time tomorrow.
Yep, you're right.
I lost the ability to masturbate a couple years ago and I couldn't physically pleasure myself anymore. It wasn't that I woke up one day and it just stopped happening. It was a gradual, I would try and my body would hurt. And the more and more I did it, my body would hurt. And I was like, well, this is not fun anymore. I'm just going to stop and not do it. Oh, it was such grief, such loss that I haven't really ever experienced. Because I took pride in being able to self-pleasure from the time I was young. From the time I was like 11, 12 and learning how to masturbate, I was like, well, at least I know how to do that. Like, at least if I need to sleep or feel better, I can do that. And losing that ability was like, it made me question my masculinity, my viability, my sex appeal, all that stuff made me feel like I didn't have that anymore. I was visiting my sister. She lives in Sydney, Australia. I'm very jealous. And we were sitting on the beach in Bondi, a beautiful beach. We were just talking about our lives and just having brother-sister time together. We were talking about kind of my hands and how they're shaped because of my disability. And she says, do the sex toys work for you? And I kind of just rolled my eyes and said, no, like there are none for me. Like, no. Well, why don't we make one? And initially I was like, making a sex toy with my sister. That's a really odd family thing to do together. But at the same time, when we started asking people from the disabled community, do you want this? Is this a venture we should even like trail down? Does it make any sense? And then we realized when people came back to us with, oh yeah, we really want this. It was bigger than just a brother and sister thing. It was like, we could create something that could change the world for a lot of people. And so after all of our tooling and thinking and talking about it, it became handy, you know, like handy, get it, get it. As we were doing that, people would come to us with stories about the kind of sex they were having as disabled people. We said, well, we want to take these stories and put them somewhere. This is really important. There's not a lot of books around sex and disability that go into this realm and uncover sex and disability in this way. And so the Handy Book of Love, Lust, and Disability, which you can get on our website, that's handy.co. the book really goes into how does sex and disability really feel? Key things about sex and disability that most people don't consider before. I'm really proud of Handy, and I'm really, really proud of what it what it will do for the next generation of disabled people to see that in bookstores, and also what it will do for non-disabled people to see that in bookstores and go, oh, I never considered it this way, and I never understood, because guess what?
What?
All of us are going to become disabled at one point or another. So we need to start talking about disabled sex now, because even when you encounter disability in your own body, you're still going to want to have great sex, right? So why not do it now? Even if it's not you yourself, you might bump into the hottest disabled person in the world, which is me, so don't worry about it. But you might run into like someone else with a disability and realize that you want to have great sex with them, but don't know how. So we need to have these conversations now, because no matter what you do, disability will become a part of your life. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Drew Gerza. And I also have a podcast called Disability After Dark, the podcast shining a bright light on disability stories. It's available every Saturday, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening to Good Sex.
Good Sex is a Lemonada Media original, produced by Claire Jones and Matthew Simonson. Our supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. And our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova-Kramer. Music is by Dan Molad, with additional music from APM Music. And sound design is by Matthew Simonson. If you like Good Sex, the show, not, you know, why don't you rate and review us on iTunes? And you can follow us on all social media at Lemonada Media. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere, and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people, and we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.